Good morning, Fairbanks. Welcome to KFAR Radio. We are at 660 on the AM dial and 97.5 on the FM dial. This is Problem Corner, and I am your host, David Pruse. My format is as usual. On Mondays, it's business and economics that affect Fairbanks and the state of Alaska. Tuesday's my day of politics, so my guests will be based around that. Wednesday, my guest is an interesting Fairbanksan, pioneer, local legend, nefarious character, or an incredible person that meets me the last Wednesday of every month. Friday is all about Fairbanks, what we get to do over the weekend, those opportunities that are afforded to us, those things that make Fairbanks special. My job is to introduce this world, this planet, to the wonderful world of Fairbanks, give everyone that Fairbanks fix we need once in a while. We'll try to get to your phone calls, but sometimes our conversations just don't stop. So please be patient. We will get there. You can reach us at 458-TALK, 458-8255. And with that, I have in the booth with me, last Wednesday of the month, talking about history, Joni Skillbred. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
And our subject today is?
Aviation.
In Fairbanks.
In Fairbanks. Kind of a mishmash of aviation.
You know,
our little favorites.
You know, aviation in Fairbanks is so deep
it is.
So expansive. There's only, you know, what we're going to discuss today is just the beginning, some of the remnants of the beginning.
Just the tiniest little piece of the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, aviation was a real game changer for Alaska. It opened Alaska up in a way that made it so much faster and so much easier to get from place to place. You didn't have to slog through the swamps anymore.
No, you didn't.
Yes. So it really changed. And I mean, we're still today heavily dependent on aviation for so much.
You know, it all starts, though, with Weeksfield. In my research, in my studies, it all came down to Weeksfield.
In Fairbanks, yes.
Yeah. And most people don't understand what, where, the how, or whatever Weeksfield was or is. Do you want to start?
Well, Weeksfield was the first official airfield. I'm not going to call it an airport. It was an airfield in those days. It was called a field. And it was the first one here in Fairbanks, and it was on the outskirts of town. So it ran along where Airport Way goes today, and it ran roughly from, I believe, Gillam Way down to the Carlson Center.
Yeah.
It was a big piece of land.
Yeah, and everything in between. And it incorporated areas where Lathrop and Ryan Junior High are today.
Yes.
It incorporated where the Noel Ween Library is?
Well, it started at the city's woodlot, the NC yeah. Company's woodlot, and it ended at the city dump.
And tell us about the most historical building that's still there. Bowling alley now.
The Pacific Alaska Airways hangar, but there's still another one.
Yeah.
And that one's the Gillam hangar.
Harold Gillam hangar, yeah. And that's the old superstore on the corner of Airport and Gillam Way. It's for sale now. It's shut down. That's the,
that's owned by my pioneer sister.
Ah.
Yes.
So you take
Carpenter.
Yeah, you know, you take a look at that roof style, you know, the half moon.
Yes.
And that usually connotated an aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Just looking at that.
The old hangars at Wainwright and at Eielson still had those curved roofs.
Yeah.
Until these new ones were built.
And so you had, that started, what, about 1924?
Yeah, right in the mid-20s.
Yeah. And you had Pan American Airways eventually running out of there.
Mm-hmm.
You had Alaskan Airways.
Yes.
That was started by, I believe, Ben Eielson.
Yep.
And that was the precursor to most likely Alaska Airlines.
I believe it was, yes.
And think of
it. There were several of them there.
There
were quite a few. And there were some of them who cropped up and then went away pretty quickly, you know. Alaska is a place, you know, where if you do business, not all businesses succeed, you know. It has to be profitable. Aviation, because it's still here today, is very profitable.
So let's look at some of the more really interesting things that happened at Weeks Field, and the thoughts you said, you know, the businesses that might prop up. There's an old Zeppelin hangar, not a hangar, but an anchor.
Yes, it was a mooring station.
Mooring station for Zeppelins.
Yes, Fairbanks went for that in a big way. We all threw in for it. It was, there was a Graf Zeppelin that was going to do over-the-pole flights between Germany and the U.S., and they needed a place to refuel and dock. You know, they had to have a series of these stations, and it was decided that Fairbanks would be a great place to do this. And the business community in Fairbanks and the city council, you know, everybody was like, we were looking for anything.
Yep.
You know, and they were
make ourselves relevant in the world.
Big.
Yep.
Oh, this is big, you know. And so, and Zeppelins were a kind of a newer form of air travel and showed a lot of promise until the Hindenburg.
Yep.
That kind of sealed the fate of that.
Sort of stopped. Yeah, let's not go up there with that.
So.
Explosive gas.
Everybody jumped on it and they went, oh, we can be their mooring place. So they, local effort, they purchased the Rickert farm. They purchased 700 acres of land. And they got the supplies sent up. And there was a whole lot of back and forth. There was a lot of promoting. All the work done for the clearing of this and making it so that it could be used was done with volunteer labor. They had four or five work parties. And the lengthy list of volunteers that was named in the paper, I don't think there was a man in town that didn't show up to help work on this. It was that important. And that means that all the women in town, even though they're not mentioned in the paper,
supporting it too,
supported that too by providing food and other refreshments. So this was a very, very big deal. And Fairbanks, of course, was all in for it. And so it was supposed to happen in like 1930. It was supposed to come. And then there was a delay, and it was going to be 1931. And then there was a delay, and then it was going to be 1933. And you see all these articles there, like on the front page of the paper. And as time goes on and the delays go on, they keep going further and further back in the paper.
Yeah.
Well, this went on all the way through the 30s. And finally, it was pretty obvious that this just wasn't going to happen. And they really didn't talk about it very much anymore.
Sort of died out.
It died out. Well, after the Hindenburg exploded, that was the end of it.
Yeah.
You know, nobody wanted anything to do with any of that. But it was going to put Fairbanks on the map. And it was such a great idea, people thought at the time, that even Livengood was going to try to compete. And they were going to put one in there. Blanche Cascaden was that. And Austin Lathrop, Captain Lathrop was involved in this.
Yeah.
He was one of the promoters. And Tom Markram, he was a big player in it. And, you know, they were going to get involved on this world stage event that fizzled. And this has happened over and over in Alaska's history. You know, we try to get in there and make our mark, and sometimes we hit it and
sometimes we don't. Yeah, sometimes we don't.
But we did have a state-of-the-art, fully functioning Zeppelin station, but nothing ever landed there.
Yeah, but let's look what we, you know, let's look at what came out of Weeks Field. Air Alaska?
I believe, and I'm not certain on this, but common sense kind of leads you, if they bought 700 acres of land for that Zeppelin station, I'm pretty sure that 700 acres became Weeks Field.
Yeah,
became
exactly.
The airport.
You know, the first flight, nonstop flight, was between Anchorage and Weeks Field. The Delaney Strip, now it's the Delaney Park Strip,
yes.
A lot like ours. That Weeks Field, that's a strip there too.
Yes.
And it was a four-hour flight, and that was done by Ben Eielson, I believe.
Yes. Oh, he was amazing.
Yeah.
He did so much to build
aviation.
The aviation industry in Alaska, you know. I mean, he really, really did a lot.
Yeah. So, you know, when you look at the anchors of Fairbanks, Weeks Field was that early one. Mm-hmm. You know, it was so big that anyone had a car, you know, you went to a baseball game there. You went to an auto race there.
Horse races. Oh, yes.
It was a very large community park.
It was. In town, we were a town that was built before automobiles, and
yeah.
there was no parking anywhere in town. So that was a place where you could park your car.
Be seen.
Oh, yes. And all the beautiful people of Fairbanks had cars, you know.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The ones that spent money did.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. I have Joni Skillbred in the studio with me here. If you have a thought or a question about early Fairbanks aviation that we probably don't know, give us a call anyway. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. And remember, if we know it, it's because of Joni. If we don't know it, it's because of me.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway. Honda lawnmowers are the ultimate mowing machines. Buy yours today from your premier Honda dealership. The Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
KFAR Weather.
Mostly cloudy today with high temperatures near 60. We could see a pop-up shower or two this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy with lows right around 45. Tomorrow for Thursday, cloudy once again with highs in the lower 60s. Quick look at Friday, patchy fog in the morning, then otherwise mostly sunny with highs near 66. And a quick look at the Labor Day weekend, Saturday and Sunday, partly sunny with high temperatures in the mid to upper 60s. This has been a look at your latest Fairbanks area weather forecast.
And now, more Problem Corner on 660 AM, KFAR.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. In the studio here with Joni Skillbred, we're talking about early Fairbanks aviation, and we're right now at Weeks Field. Now, the end of Weeks Field. Talk about the beginning, got to talk about the end.
Well, the end came when we built the Fairbanks International Airport.
1951.
Yes. Well, Weeks Field wasn't going to be able to service jet aircraft.
No. You didn't want jets flying into town.
The jet age arrived.
Yeah. Yes. And it, you know, and this was, you know, Fairbanks grew.
Yes.
And started getting subdivisions around Weeks Field.
Yes.
All around it. So you also had Ladd Field. Mm-hmm. So you had a lot of aircraft flying in and out in the same dense area. So they said, okay, let's move it way out of town. I mean, way, 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 way out of town.
Yeah, it's not so far out of town today, is it?
No, and if you look at it, let's throw in Jess Bochner. He did not want to go way out there.
No.
He lived in town, 9th Avenue.
Yes.
He was saying no. So that's where they started Phillips Field.
Bochner Air Service.
Yeah. And, you know, if you take a look, you still can see his building out there. I think Al, a gentleman, is on here with me. He operates out of one of the old buildings that used to be Bochner Aviation Aircraft.
My very first time to ever fly in an airplane that I can remember, because I was a toddler my very first flight, and I don't remember that. That doesn't count. But was out of Phillips Field when I was 18 years old.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on the KFVR radio with Joni Skillbred, and your name is?
Hi, this is Craig. How's it going, guys?
Good, Craig.
Hey, right on. Hey, I love the topic today. In the Fairbanks International Airport, there's a picture of Noel Ween on top Wickersham Dome where
he got stranded up there.
Yes, he did. He had done a little bit of research on it, but evidently he had a water pump go out of his airplane, and he was hauling passengers, and he had a forced landing on top of Wickersham Dome, and he had to walk all the way to, I believe, Olness or Chattanooga or something like that. He had to walk all the way out, then get parked and fly up again and land next to the airplane, fix the airplane, and then fly the airplanes out.
Yes, and the good news is for him is that that walk was all downhill.
Yes, it would have been, yeah. So I've been kind of looking for that spot. I've hiked up Wickersham Dome a couple of different times, and I can't find, you know, just kind of looking. I've taken a picture of the picture on my phone, and I've been kind of looking for that spot because I've always kind of wanted to find it and then maybe find a place where I could land and then take a picture of my airplane in the same spot where Noel Ween was. I always thought that'd be kind of neat. But I can't find it. Is there anybody out there that has? Or maybe I'm half suspicious, and I don't know this at all, but if maybe just time being time, I think that was back in 1915 where this took place, maybe he landed on a different dome and called it Wickersham Dome or a different area. Any thoughts or ideas on that?
I would talk with Mr. Ween here in town to see if he knew where that was. I can do that. I'll give Richard a call, and I've had
Richard
him in
this. Noel Ween's son.
Yeah, and see see if he could tell us.
He was still around.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
See if he could tell us part of that story for you.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Hey, that's what we're here for. Thank you for the call, Craig.
Hey, thank you. Bye, bye, guys.
Bye.
So you brought up Jess Bachner.
Yeah.
And do you know how Jess Bachner got his start in aviation?
You're going to tell me.
I am going to tell you. In the very early days of aviation, one of the first places that they flew to was Livengood.
I knew with you there had to be a Livengood story.
Yes, I'm a Livengood.
Now, who else are we going to talk about? Oh, his mother later on. Okay.
No, that's what we're going to talk about now.
Are we segueing in? Okay.
You started this. So.
You're the boss. Okay, let's go to Leona Bachner.
Cleora. His mother needed to go to town, and she had him and his brother. She had the two kids, and she needed to go to town, and that was about a five-day trip. And it was not an easy thing to do with two little children. And you had to sleep in these roadhouses. One time she described one of those trips where there was a canvas wall, and they were on the floor, and there was a horse's hoof that almost kicked her in the head through the wall. So she didn't want to do that. And this plane was there, and it was going to go back to Fairbanks, and she was the first passenger flight from Livengood back to Fairbanks.
She was on it.
It had never been done before, but when she found out she could be in Fairbanks in 1 hour, she said, we're going.
Yeah.
She had two small children in a double cockpit biplane, open cockpit.
And that's the thing about what most people don't understand about the airplane is the mail routes, the postal routes that started in 1924 and 25. What used to take 30 to 50 days by dog team when you could run it took hours.
Yes.
But at the same time, a lot of the founding fathers of aviation lost their lives. And they were both a pilot and a mechanic. They were both.
You had to be.
Yeah. You had to do it all. And a navigator. And a steward. You did it all.
Well, on this flight that they made, she had two kids and one seat. And those, if you sit in a plane, you know, it's not very big.
No.
And her son was 5 years old, and her daughter was 2.5 or 3. Well, she said in her memoirs that when that plane took off, her daughter did everything she could, fought like a wildcat to get out of the plane. And she had to cram her daughter all the way forward where your feet go and keep her feet firmly pressed against her daughter while she screamed and wailed the entire way to town, and her son sat on her lap. And he had the bug. That was it.
Yep, he was hooked.
He was hooked. Yes.
Yeah.
And Andy Bochner is still around today.
Oh, yeah.
Know? Yeah.
And he was a Ween pilot.
He was.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's my good friend and landlord.
Pioneering aviation family there.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it's a small but wonderful town we have.
But that's where Bochner Air Service got its start.
The mom put two kids in the plane. One thought she was going to hell, and the other one was thought he's going to heaven.
Yeah. Haul two kids 5 days down the trail or an hour ride?
I'm taking the hour ride.
That's right.
There you go. My goodness.
Yes.
Well, tell us about Marvel Crossan.
Well, Marvel Crossan.
Joe's sister.
And he was a very well-known aviation pioneer here. And she was his sister, and she also was a pilot. And both of them were just beautiful-looking people. I mean, they were gorgeous people. And the fact that she flew planes, you know, that was even a very daring thing for a woman to do in those days. She was quite adventuresome. She wasn't here very long, though. She was here about a year, and she helped him fly. And it's rumored that she had a little love interest with Harold Gillum, but that, you know, it fizzled, just like business, you know. Some things take off and some things don't.
Some things crash and burn.
Well, she did.
Yeah.
So in 1930, she crashed in Arizona.
During a cross-country race.
Yes, and died in that accident.
You know, her brother was known as the Mercy pilot.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one who went out and brought back Wiley Post and the pilot with Wiley Post. He was the one who went and found
Will Rogers.
Yeah. He was the one who went and found Ben Eielson.
Yeah.
And brought him back. He was the one who always went out on the emergencies. He was known as the Mercy pilot. And if you look where Weeksfield was, there's a street called Crossan Avenue.
Yes.
It's named after him. And also, if you ever fly into Sterling Airport is named Joe Crossan Field Airport. So a very incredible family.
Yes. These people are the people that built aviation.
Yeah.
Not just here in Fairbanks.
Yeah.
But all over Alaska.
Fairbanks, we are going to take a break for the Fox News and some commercials, and I have a call holding. Hopefully you'll either hold, because we'll get to you as soon as we get back on the air, or you call back in right when we get back on the air. But Fairbanks, a little bit of the Doors LA Woman bumper music for you. Remember, I do not pick this.
Alaska's longest-running talk show. It's Problem Corner on KFAR, 660 AM.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Steve Rappaport. Dorian strengthening to a hurricane with winds at 75 miles per hour. Forecasters warning Dorian could become a Category 3 storm before it reaches the U.S. mainland.
It's really spared what we thought could be the worst in Puerto Rico. We'll see some flooding in Puerto Rico, but then the bigger storm is really potentially impacting mainland USA sometime this weekend.
Fox News meteorologist Rick Reichmuth. The Department of Veterans Affairs investigating nearly a dozen patient deaths at a VA hospital in West Virginia.
82-year-old Army veteran Felix McDermott had already been dead and buried for 18 months when his body was exhumed last October. There was suspicion that he and up to 10 other patients had not died of natural causes but may have been murdered. An autopsy on the exhumed body confirmed the suspicions of a homicide.
Fox's Doug McElway in Washington. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
BP is selling all its operations in Alaska, including its interests in both the Prudhoe Bay oil field and the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. Company officials announced in a release Tuesday that it is selling to Hilcorp Alaska for $5.6 billion. BP Chief Executive Bob Dudley said the company has other opportunities, both in the U.S. and around the world, that are more competitive and better aligned with its long-term strategy. It also fits BP's plan to divest $10 billion in assets by 2020. State figures indicate 45 legal marijuana growers in Alaska are delinquent in their tax payments, a sharp rise from a year ago. Total taxes due with accruing penalties and interests is about $1 million. Many in the industry blame the tax, though some also see an unlimited number of licensees as part of the problem. Alaska officials have extended the state's wildfire season through September 30th. KTUU-TV reported the Department of Natural Resources announced the season will be extended due to continued warm, dry conditions. Alaska's statutory wildfire season normally begins April 1st and ends August 31st.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Jeans is one of my favorite places to do a remote. Hey, we should do a remote. But first, this Saturday is the last day for the summer clearance event deals on brand new Ram truck, Jeep, Chrysler, and Dodge vehicles, like up to 20% off select models. So hurry, we hope to see you there.
Going on now at GCR, Cooper Tires August promotion. Receive $70 back when you buy four qualifying tires, like the Cooper Discoverer AT3 family of tires for performance on and off-road or for maximum protection and performance on rock and gravel, Discoverer ST Max and Discoverer STT Pro. Mail in your form. You'll receive your $70 prepaid card from Cooper Tires. Hurry in. Rebate savings end August 31st. Shop GCR today. GCR, the tire guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman. GCR Tires and Service. The only way to deal with the weather on any hunt is to be ready for it before you go. Visit Frontier Outfitters, keeping hunters dry and comfortable for decades with rain gear by Helly Hansen, fieldwear by Scent Blocker, shirts, vests, coats, and pants by Browning, boots by Danner and LaCrosse, socks by Smart Wool and Fox River. You're covered head to toe, warm and dry. Your successful hunt starts at Frontier today. Clothing to tents, camp gear, and more. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
And now, more Problem Corner on 660 AM, KFAR.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Prue's in the studio here with Joni Skillbred talking about early Fairbanks Aviation, and we're going to take a quick phone call who's been hanging on for us for a while. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Yeah, this is Jim.
Hello, Jim.
Hey, I got a question about an old building down there that's now Big Daddy's. Place has a old barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
That was an auto dealership.
And it looks like it's an old aircraft hangar. Is that correct?
No, that was the old Jeans, or the original Jeans Chrysler building, I believe.
I think before that it was Alaska Motors.
Yeah. And where the parking lots were, that's where one of the public pools were. And the other one had the original Loyal Order of Moose in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I always wondered about it because it has that arched building. And I said, well, I'll bet that was a airplane hangar at one time.
Well, you know, they did land planes right on the Chena River.
Yeah.
There's a newspaper article that I read where Don Adler took a ride with Joe Crossan to Livengood. And they, on the way back, Don had to crawl out and fix something on the engine of the plane while Joe kept it going. They had a mechanical problem. And then Joe dropped the plane down and was going to buzz underneath the Cushman Street Bridge, and Don was thinking that maybe he should have brought some fresh underwear.
Now, going back to the real estate side of things, thank you for bringing us there, Jim. You know, the Pan American hangar, right across the street is a church, and I can confirm that that was not part of any aviation. They built that in 1961.
Oh, the Lutheran Church?
The Lutheran Church. So, yeah. So don't think that that was, you know, a reconverted aviation property. So
just the bowling alley.
Just the bowling alley that's there. And then they built up the town around it. And, you know, that's when they built Denali School on that. Then they built Lathrop School on the old aviation property.
The Pioneer Museum has a collection of photographs, the Batchelder collection, and it shows a lot of that stuff being built. There was a big influx of federal money into Fairbanks for municipal stuff, and they built schools, and there's pictures of them building the new airport, and yeah, shows all of that.
Yeah. Now, let's go to Carl Ben Eielson, who a base is named after.
Yes, I grew up there. I went to school at his school.
He originally grew up in North Dakota.
Yes.
And he started learning to fly at the end of World War One, and he was with the part of the American Signal Corps.
He was also a school teacher.
Yeah. So, yep, he ends school. I mean, he ends, goes back to North Dakota, and he decides to go to law school. And while in law school, he's also acting as a police officer in Washington, D.C. And he runs across the territorial delegate of the state of Alaska.
Which was who?
I forget his name.
Oh.
You know, that's your side of the equation. Who was it, Joni?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. And the delegate to the Alaska, from the territory of Alaska, talked him into coming to Alaska and starting aviation. And that's why he came to Fairbanks, Alaska.
Opportunity not.
Yeah, that's how he got up here. And that's the reason why.
Can you believe, though, when he came up here and he did all that flying, it was in open cockpit planes. I just can't get over that.
I came across a few.
It had to be miserable.
I came across a few photos of Weeks Field. And, like, the first structure was a lean-to building, you know, that just showed a lean-to. And they had the biplane underneath it.
Oh, so they could start it.
Yeah. And I mean, this had a roof.
Yes.
It's all it had was a roof.
That's it's amazing. I mean, how brave. Go to the Air Museum at Pioneer Park and look at some of those old planes they have in there.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, my gosh, you know, I can't believe somebody thought that was a good idea to even go in that thing and go up in the air.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Joni Skillbred, and your name is?
This is Mel.
Hello, Mel.
Hi, Mel.
Yeah, I was just wondering that faded blue building that's off the expressway in the, you know, Phillips Field area, that seems to me to have dated back to the Phillips Field era. I think it's still being utilized, but it's kind of by itself at the very end.
Yeah, that's the Bochner Aviation Building, and that's operated as the tannery, or with Al, who's he's on the he was appointed to an outdoor group by the governor. Anyway, the
is it tannery?
It's
used.
Yes,
is
it is.
Tannery?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I mean, how'd you get there? I never thought about how to drive there.
Yeah, you have to go underneath the Johansson Expressway and then turn left, and that'll bring you down there. Now, the Phillips Field was knocked out by the Johansson Expressway. The last operations of it were in the later 80s, about 88, 89, and the Johansson Expressway opened in about 91, 92. And that's what knocked out Phillips Field and Bochner Aviation and everyone that was there. That was the small airplane area that didn't go out to the international airport.
Okay, well, interesting. I've driven by it a million times. I knew it was back, had something to do with Phillips Field,
It started in about 1951, and by 1965, 67, it was paved. It was a paved 7,500-foot landing strip.
Thank you.
Yep, bye.
Problem corner solves problems.
I like talking about the real estate side of things. Go figure. Go figure.
Yes.
Oh, boy. We've had such a rich aviation. So, bring us up to date on the Hagelin.
Oh, well, Pete Hagelin, you know, he runs the Air Museum there at Pioneer Park. And so I've helped him with some research, and he's helped me.
Yes.
Probably more than I've helped him. But he's just wonderful, and he's so knowledgeable.
He
you know,
is.
If you really would like to know something about early aviation, I would strongly suggest you start with Pete.
And at the Pioneer Aviation Museum.
Yes, and if he does not know the answer, he will know where to point you to
yeah.
get it.
Yes.
He's amazing.
That's a little jewel
yes.
here in Fairbanks.
Yes. So he sent me this article a few years ago, and I really like it. And it says... it was put in the paper in 1934, our local paper, and it says, Chicago boasts that it has more planes than any other city in the United States, being 286. Population considered, if Fairbanks had no more planes than Chicago has, it would not be able to muster a single tail skid. To put it the other way around, if Chicago had as many planes in proportion to the population as Fairbanks has, it would have 48,000 planes instead of a measly 286. Undoubtedly, in proportion to population, Alaska has more planes and more flyers and a higher average of ability among the pilots than is possessed by any other part of the world.
Still that way.
That says a lot. In 1934.
Still that way.
The first flight happened here in 1915.
Yeah.
That's like just over 15 years' time. We were the flying capital of the United States.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, some very incredible people in aviation started here.
Yes.
You know, it's a very... very proud, rich history that you and I get to have the honor to present.
But, you know, I think it's interesting. It started as kind of a survival and adventure experience for many of these early
yeah,
pilots.
Yeah.
And then when passenger service started really coming into its own, that happened rather quickly, it became... the place to be seen. I can afford to air travel.
Yep.
You know, and you used to wear your very best to get on that plane.
Yeah.
You I didn't
your
care
Sunday
if you were
best
going
wasn't good
bush.
Enough. Your Sunday best wasn't good
That's
enough.
That's right. I mean, you were there to be seen and noticed if you were going to take an air flight.
Yep.
And then now segue to today, and I've seen people get on the plane with their pajamas. You know? So it's
the commonality of it.
The commonality. And if you look at space travel, we're at the adventure and survival aspect of it, but now we're moving it towards that passenger part, and then it will become common and people will fly to space in their pajamas. That's my prediction.
That's called a space suit.
Yes.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick we're going to take a phone call first. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Lee.
Hello, Lee.
Hey, let me turn this radio down here a little bit. Back in 1967, there was an air business over there that you've mentioned, a Bochner's, and I was guiding in the Alaska Range, and the guide that I was guiding with had 35-inch tires on a Super Cub, and he broke a landing gear, and so... we cabled it up, and he headed to town and with a big wallet of cash, and with all the people that needed their airplanes fixed, he was able to get his at the front of the line, and he was back in 2 days with a new landing gear. And that was quite important back in those days when Bochner had his aviation business going over there.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was just historical for sure. And one other thing, I think I may have mentioned this once before, but there was an old adage in Fairbanks back in, I'm going to say, the early 50s or the middle 50s when Pan American was still flying or started to fly here. They were the best doctor in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah.
And believe me, that may still hold true for some professions in the doctoring world, but back then it was really... You went outside to get any major medical done because we either didn't have a doctor that would be brave enough to even try it, or we just didn't have that kind of a doctor around.
Well, yeah, we had a lot of family practice, you know, family doctors. You know,
right.
You go there like Dr. Ebar, Dr. Dunlap, Dr. Lundquist, people like that. We didn't have the specialists. You know, I had my tonsils out. That was, you know.
Sure. That was their forte.
Yeah.
Well, go back before that, in the early days when you read the newspapers, if you were ill or injured in the bush, they flew you to Fairbanks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, yep. And you know, Lee, that is still a commonplace thought. You go outside to get your operations.
Oh, I know it is, and in my case, it is also. But I had a hip replacement done here a few years ago, and I couldn't have had a better hip anywhere on the planet. It's just like the way it was when it was put in new.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't say a bad word about the local doctor that whipped the hip into me, because I've tested it and it is equal to the other one. And I haven't taken an aspirin since I left the hospital.
Wow! Congratulations, yeah. That's great.
Yeah, it was what I call it, no minor miracle. Well, thanks for the show.
Thank you. You have a great day, Lee. Greatly appreciate it. And Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. You listen to KFAR Radio. We're at 458 Talk, 458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
This is Problem Corner on KFAR 660 AM.
For 1 month only, Renewal by Andersen is having a flash sale on all our windows and patio doors. This is Chris Dunn from Renewal by Andersen. Before August 31st, buy one window or patio door and get your next one 40% off. And save an additional $50 on every window and patio door you buy. And our Easy Pay program is incredible. Don't pay anything for a year. Call the window company that over 3,000 other Alaska homeowners have trusted and get in on this flash sale. Buy one window or patio door and then get your next one 40% off. Save an additional $50 on every window and patio door you buy. And with this Easy Pay program, don't pay anything for a year. Renewal by Andersen's flash sale is 1 month only and ends on August 31st. For a free appointment during our sale, call 885-3100. 885-3100. That's 885-3100.
Arctic RV is a proud sponsor of Joe Nava's Shooter's Corner, where you get the inside info on the world of guns and shooting from gun expert Joe Nava. Get out and play in Alaska and stay there longer in comfort with help from Arctic RV. See them today for your next Jayco travel trailer or RV parts and service. Alaska plays rough, so rough it in style with Arctic RV. And listen each Thursday at 11 for Joe Nava's Shooter's Corner, right here on KFAR 660 AM. Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Mostly cloudy today with high temperatures near 60. We could see a pop-up shower or two this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy with lows right around 45. Tomorrow for Thursday, cloudy once again with highs in the lower 60s. Quick look at Friday, patchy fog in the morning, then otherwise mostly sunny with highs near 66. And a quick look at the Labor Day weekend, Saturday and Sunday, partly sunny with high temperatures in the mid to upper 60s. This has been a look at your latest Fairbanks area weather forecast.
And now, more Problem Corner on 660 AM, KFAR.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. In the studio here with Joni Skillebred. We're talking about early pioneer aviation, real estate involved with aviation, big Zeppelin balloons, potential locations for aviation.
Oh, we're just full of air.
We're full of hot air. But there's a Mrs. Lounsbury that has to be mentioned.
Oh, yes. Well, in the early days, her name was Faye Jennings, and George Lounsbury, my very dear friend, this is his mother.
Yeah.
Jim and Clutch Lounsbury, half of Fairbanks knows Clutch.
And Doc Lounsbury.
And Doc Lounsbury.
My eye doctor.
Yes. So their mother was the first woman to solo fly an airplane here in Fairbanks, and it all started with winning the Air Queen contest in 1929, which was kind of a beauty slash popularity contest, and it was run out of the Empress Theater, and the winner
which is in what building?
The co-op.
Yep.
And the winner got to wear a leather aviator's helmet and a thing of flowers, and she got a free plane ride.
Wow.
And she loved the flight so much, she went and she took lessons, and she did her first solo flight here in Fairbanks, was the first female to do that.
Yeah.
And when she left town to go to college, she went to college down in California, and she was a member of the Alpha Eta Rho fraternity in 1938, which was a flying fraternity, an aviator's fraternity.
Wow.
And she was a member of that.
You know, my oldest brother, Dana, he got his driver's license on his 16th birthday. He got his pilot's license on his 17th birthday. You know, and that's how I never had the fly bug. We all got our driver's license on our birthday, but he got his pilot's license on the earliest day he could get it. So his instructors were Don Wright and Tommy Kishida, Northland Aviation.
Really?
Yeah, out on the East Ramp.
And he still flies.
Oh, he's a heck of a pilot.
Yeah.
He, when I got my first Moose at the age of 13, he flew me out with it out at Healy Lake. And, you know, we were pretty quite socked weathered in, and he had to fly in from Delta about 200 feet off the deck following the Tanana River. And that's how we got back. And, you know, he was all worried about it, but I was just in heaven. I had my Moose. You know, I had my first Moose. I was 13, had my first Moose, and he's sweating bullets. You know, he's 17.
Oh.
You know, he's been a pilot for maybe 5 months. But he started flying when he was 14 years old. And the reason my dad had him start flying was my dad would throw us, you know, in the back of his little Centabria, and Dana would always get sick. And so he was talking to with his friends, you know, his aviation buddies, and one of them said, maybe if you taught him how to fly, he wouldn't get sick. And that's how his love of aviation started, right then and there.
It's like gold mining. You either get the bug or you don't.
Yeah. And he's had his pilot's license now for 45 years.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're either all in or you're not.
Or you're a passenger.
You know, I'm a great passenger. What about Faye Jennings?
Well, she was the first one to solo, and she
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I always thought of her as, you know,
that's George's mom.
Yes, I know.
Yes.
I know. And you know, it was very, very dangerous. Harold Gillam, the original Harold Gillam. He had a kid named Harold Gillam who past city mayor, past borough mayor,
yes.
You know, past city engineer.
Yes.
His dad was one of the stalwarts of aviation in Fairbanks. And he was killed because of an air accident. Mm-hmm. They were flying from Seattle to Ketchikan, and he was in an Electra.
He was also involved in the very first airplane accident in Fairbanks.
Yeah, he walked away from a few. And he had about six passengers in an Electra, and he crashed, and they're all fine. But after the fifth day, they hadn't been rescued, so he decided to walk out. And after 30 days, they rescued the party. They found the party, but they didn't find him. They later found him, and he had died of exposure trying to get out to save and help the people. But that was a pilot.
Well, he not only operated Gillam Air Service out of Fairbanks,
yeah.
but he also operated Gillam Air Service out of Cordova.
Yeah, that's where he started.
Yes. And, you know, so he had multi-locations. I'm not sure if he was in Anchorage or not. I know he did a lot of flights back and forth between there.
Yeah.
But the very first crash that happened in Fairbanks, he was in the plane, and the plane crashed, and the one guy died from the injuries. And this, when he died, you know, I mean, this was a big deal in Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm.
First plane crash,
yeah.
You know. And the body was going to be sent outside, and it was going on the train. And when it went on the train, the aviation community, they all gathered up, and they flew and circled over the train and dropped wreaths onto the train as it went through Nenana.
You know,
pay homage to their fallen aviator.
You know, it's funny, in the, this would probably be in the 60s. And he told me he did it. Ken Murray, he's retiring. He's 76 years old. He was in an airplane flying over the coast of the USSR, dropping leaflets out the window onto the little town or village in English, telling them how good America was.
Really?
Yeah. They flew across, you know, those bad Americans. But ponder that, you know, you're going to get shot down by a MiG-21.
The Soviets probably viewed him as a pesky little mosquito.
Oh, you know. Well, you know, my thought was, if the Air Force knew that this happened and they had a penetration, successful penetration, there are some regional commanders that were going to, you know, they're going to be purged.
Probably, yes.
So tell us about the Alaska Nugget Service.
Well, we can finish up with Alaska Airlines. They probably took it over the top when the jet age hit. And they started with Gold Nugget Service, which was done up like an old saloon dance hall kind of decor in the plane. And you had beans and all of that. And then that turned into Golden Samovar Service.
Yeah.
And in the 70s, that was a big deal. I remember my grandmother flying up, and I was so pea green because she was going to get to have some of that Golden Samovar Service.
Yep.
You know, it was a huge thing. They served Russian food, Russian drinks, lots of drinks.
Vodka. Vodka was a popular one, as I would recall.
The stewardesses were all in these little Cossack-looking mini skirts or mini dresses, and they had the little Cossack-looking hats on. It was very glamorous. And as you flew north over Juneau, the governor would come on the PA system and welcome you to the great state of Alaska, you know? I mean, it was a big deal. And I think that that was the pinnacle of the flying experience for all of us.
Yeah.
And it's just never been the same since.
No, it got more commercialized. Not personalized anymore, commercialized.
Catalyzed, so you know?
Yeah.
It's like you just herd it on and herd it off, and it's really nothing special anymore.
We have a minute left. Thank you so much. What's our next subject? You're going to be gone next month.
Pioneer Convention.
So we have to look for October. What are you thinking?
I was thinking of doing something about the history of Halloween. Since we're going to be at the end of the month, it would be fun to talk about Halloween over the years
in Fairbanks.
Oh, yes.
I don't have to tell any stories that I'll get spankings for, do I, from neighbors?
No, we wouldn't talk about that, no.
Thank you so much, Jody. Great show. Fairbanks, I hope you enjoyed it. History of aviation, early part of Fairbanks, Alaska. And I will see you on Friday. You have a great Wednesday.